Hey y'all, it's Crystal.
And it's Samantha, and this is Serialholic Sisters.
True crime shit. Hey girl, hi.
Hi, what's going
I feel like it's been forever.
on? I know it's because we space out our episodes now.
This is true. This is true. I couldn't find the
Well,
record button a minute ago. I panicked. I was like, what do I do?
we are busy ladies now. I started school back up. I just got a new job.
So I've been busy. Have I told you about my ghost in my house? Girl, I have
Well, I
video.
knew you had one because
Right,
we've seen him on video.
I'm gonna say I've had video proof of it from like a few years back. Can
Yes, and it
totally
creeped
see
out
it.
Chris.
Yeah, he's in denial, but it's clearly a ghost.
Didn't you like sp time out? Didn't you like specifically say that you had a video of him and he refused to watch it?
He did refuse to watch it at first, and then when he watched it, he tried to like give like logical reasons as to why this ghost appeared on this camera. And I'm
Okay.
like, no, no.
Because for those that don't know, her husband and my husband are both wimps when it comes to paranormal stuff. Like my
Wimps.
husband was scared of paranormal activity.
I feel like we've talked about this before, and mine was afraid of
We
white
have,
noise because he's
yes.
ridiculous. Yes. So, I had the video that I'd caught before. And
Yes.
then now, lately, the past few weeks, this light in my hallway, right in front of Danielle's room, has started like flickering, which, yes, I know. Okay, flickery lights, that's nothing. But it, and I have this on video I can send you. It flickers when nobody's around. And as soon as you turn the corner, it stops. Every single time. Every single time. And then when you
So
turn around, it
is
starts
it
flickering
freaking
again.
everybody out?
Yes, we've switched the light bulb like twice. We thought, oh, maybe it was loose. So we twisted it to like tighten it and we switched light bulbs. It does it every single time. Danielle's annoyed at this point. She's like, I can see it in my room flickering. And then I open the door and it stops. And I'm like, I'm sorry the ghost is annoying you. I don't know what to tell you.
He's like, I'm just here to play.
I mean, it's super obnoxious. I'm going to send you the video real quick. I was, and you don't have to watch the whole thing because it's long. But it does it at the beginning too. And as soon as I walk away, like I started backing away in the video instead of turning around, because as soon as you turn around, you can see it over your shoulder flickering again. And it does every single time, every time.
You think he's trying to scare you guys now, like out of the house?
I don't think so, because that's the only thing. And that's not really like, it's flickery lights, not really like scary or threatening.
I know, but I mean, like, your ghost has never like bothered you guys.
Girl, I don't know. It's not bothering. It's just like a slight inconvenience. It's just slightly annoying. So
Now I have to look.
we'll see if anything else happens.
You walk up to it and it stops.
And
And you
yes.
walk away.
And it starts doing it again. It does it again at the end of the video too, but it's too long for you to watch right now. But yeah.
Oh man, I'll have to show Dallas this because I guarantee it's gonna freak him out.
Oh, I was scared. I forgot about this part. I was scared that it was possessing Chris.
Oh, what?
I forgot about this. So I'm in bed at night. It's like it's literally 3 in the morning. It's the witching hour.
I think I heard this.
Yes. When he
Yes.
gets up and he just starts like he goes to the bathroom to pee and I'm like, okay, well he's gonna come back anytime now. And he doesn't for like ever. And he didn't turn the light on. So I was like, great, there's gonna be pee everywhere, whatever. But I'm laying there and I'm like, all right, he's gonna come back to bed now. He's gonna come back to bed now. Now. And he was not coming. And so finally I like sat up and I peeked into the bathroom and he's just standing in the middle of the bathroom by the shower, like with his eyes closed, like swaying.
Absolutely not. You did not tell me that.
I didn't tell you that? Yeah, no, just
No.
swaying. And I was like, babe, what you doing? And he was like, it took him a second, and he was like, I'm standing here. And I'm like, why are you standing there? And he's like,
Did you tell him this story?
yeah, he didn't like
Oh
it. I said, why are you standing there? And he goes, didn't know I wasn't allowed to stand here. I was like, okay. I said, well, you're
like,
gonna,
he's okay.
yeah. I was like, you're gonna come back to bed. And he's like, yeah, okay. And then went back to bed. And I was like, okay. But were you thinking about the random times where he's sitting up in the floor now at night?
Yeah,
Yeah,
yes.
he still keeps doing that. It's fucking weird.
Yeah, then
So,
he's being possessed.
yeah. Well, I'm gonna need the ghost to leave him alone at 3 a.m. because that freaks me out.
Am I not allowed to stand here in my own damn house?
No, right? In my own dark bathroom at 3 a.m. swaying.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Well, unfortunately, my case is not a paranormal case. Okay. But it is, it's a crazy one. It's a crazy one. Okay. So I am going to start this case out with the nickname that I believe fit really, really damn well in this case. Like, the media gave this killer a nickname.
I was like, did you give the nickname? You're like, I believe
no.
it fit really well.
the media gave this killer a nickname, and it was the Black Widow.
Mm-hmm.
So
I feel like I may know this.
Okay. And you may.
Sounds familiar.
It's not a super old case or anything, so you may. And I say not super old, but I mean it happened like in the 90s.
It happened like in the 90s?
So it's not like super new, but
right. No, to me the 90s was like yesterday still, so
yeah.
I don't think that's old either.
Yeah. So Stacy Castor is her name. She wasn't most wives or moms. She was basically the worst. She was a monster.
Good.
Stacy was born July 24th, 1967 in Clay, New York. There wasn't a lot like about her early life or anything like that. It was more of like the life she created as an adult. So there was a little bit, I mean, obviously the smallest amount that I did find on her early life was like her mom saying how smart she was. She was going to school early, was going to be a paralegal, looking into law school, but then she met Michael Wallace when she was 17 years old in 1985, and they hit it off, and she basically was like, I don't want to do this school anymore. She wanted to just go and live a life with Michael.
Okay.
They even got married quickly. She ended up having her first daughter, Ashley, in 1988, and her second daughter, Bree, in 1991. So Stacy worked for an ambulance dispatch company. It didn't really say anything about what she actually did. I don't know if she like answered the dispatch, like she was part of dispatch or what.
Right.
And then Michael worked nights as a mechanic, so he could stay home during the day for the girls.
Is a night mechanic a thing? I didn't know that.
I guess it was in the 90s, but he worked nights as a mechanic. I don't know if it was on cars or anything. It just said as a mechanic.
Like, right.
So it could have been a mechanic on something else, like equipment.
Right. Yeah.
Or something. So.
But he worked the night shift so he could stay home with the girls during the day.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
And he loved his daughters. Like, he was super close with both of them. In fact, he like would call them his best friends, you know.
Aww.
And it was super sweet. But it was rumored that it made Stacy really jealous, and that Michael had like a drinking problem. So it was rumored. It was only a rumor. I couldn't find any actual valid proof of her having affairs, but it was rumored she was having affairs because of it.
Okay. You shouldn't be jealous of your kids and your husband's relationship. Like, they're supposed to have a good relationship, right?
In 1999, Michael got really sick.
Uh-oh.
He was having a really hard time walking. He was having a hard time even talking, too.
Was it 1991? Is that what you said?
99.
Okay, yeah. 1999, Michael got really poisoned. That's what I heard.
Well.
That's what I heard.
He got really sick. So Ashley, his oldest daughter, even recalled that one time he like sat up and just vomited across the coffee table, and then just laid back down and went to sleep. Like, yeah, like projectile vomited across the coffee table and then laid back down. And he was just like nothing happened, just laid back down and went to bed. That's how sick he was.
That's terrible. Mm-hmm. Poor kids having to watch this.
I know they were young. So in 1999, Ashley would have been 10.
11.
Right? 11.
She was born in 88.
88. Yeah. So 11.
10 or 11. No. Yeah.
Depends on her birthday. Yeah. So
why are you trying to make me math?
I don't know. I was trying to math too. So Michael told doctors that he felt drunk, even though he wasn't drinking. And they ran like a ton of tests and they just could not figure out what was wrong with him, which you got to remember, this is, you know, late 90s, and they didn't just run like toxicology tests or anything like that.
I was like, I'm not a doctor, but I already figured it out.
I know.
It helps but I heard the context clue of the name Black Widow though, so.
Right. And also, I mean, they probably weren't thinking right. That,
they had no reason to think that his wife had poisoned him.
He's coming in. His wife is with him, you know, taking him to the doctor, trying to figure out what's wrong with her husband. And they're just like, I don't know. I don't understand. Like, these are your symptoms and I'm just stumped. So on January 11th, 2000, Michael died.
Oh.
He was only 38 years old.
38. Ugh.
38. And his family was shocked that a man so young could get sick so randomly and then just die with no explanation. Like, there's literally no explanation. In fact, since there was no explanation, doctors first thought it was just a heart attack. But
that was heart attack. I don't think you normally like sit up and projectile vomit.
Right.
When you have a heart attack. I mean, I don't know.
But Michael's like extended family wanted an autopsy. They were like, well, if it's it just doesn't seem right that it's a heart attack. I feel like we should have an autopsy done. The only problem was Stacy refused the autopsy, which is weird, right? You're a grieving wife and you want
to
know.
Right. You would think that you would want to know why this suddenly happened to your husband, your young husband.
Right. But she stated that when doctors told her that they believed he died of a heart attack, that she believed that's what he died from. There was no reason to question that.
There was so many reasons to question that.
I mean, there's thousands of reasons to question that.
So many reasons.
So Stacy decided it was time to move on. So she up and left, like moved away, and she collected Michael's $55,000 life insurance policy and then moved on. So the very next year, so it'd only been a year, she met her second husband, David Castor.
Run, David.
They met in 2001 and they married in 2003.
Okay.
And their marriage was strong. In fact, she even stated that he was her support, her strength, and her security. But August 22nd, 2005, so 2 years after getting married, Stacy called 911 in a panic.
Oh, he done pissed her off.
So she told the operator that her husband locked himself in his room and would not respond to her. This is the little snippet of her call. She said, "My husband just locked himself in the bedroom for the last day. I'm really scared, you know."
For the last day?
Yes.
Like a whole day?
So he had been locked in his room for like an entire day and she couldn't get him to answer.
He didn't answer you for an entire day and then you decided to call somebody. Like for after a whole ass day.
For like a whole 24 hours.
Okay.
Cool. Like, first of all, I know that marriages have their moments. And you get mad at your husband or your wife and you need a little time to breathe and maybe, you know, maybe think or something. And you go to your room and, and you close the door and you breathe for 30 minutes to an hour.
Right. But if somebody knocks on the door and says, "Hey, are you okay?" You at least respond, even if you're pissed, like, "Go away. I don't want to talk," or something like that.
100%. But you don't go 24 hours without trying to find out what's going on, you know?
Right. Like, do you have a fridge in there? Is there food? Is there water?
So, police did come after her 911 call. And when they arrived, they broke down the door and found David naked and dead in bed.
Okay.
Also, that's really weird to me because if you're having a spouse fight, like
why are you naked?
Right.
Like, why?
Okay.
I don't usually take all my clothes off after I get in an argument.
Don't either.
Unless we're like making up, you know?
I mean, yeah, but she wasn't even in there. So same. It was an odd thing. Like, you definitely would question that, right?
Right.
So investigators were brought in and they stated there was a green liquid in a glass next to the bed and a bottle of antifreeze.
It's antifreeze. I got it.
Yeah. A bottle of antifreeze nearby. They ruled it as a suicide by antifreeze poisoning.
I'm sorry. That's a poor choice. Like, who?
That's what police ruled it as, not investigators. We're going to get to that.
Okay, because like
the police, okay. You know, some, I will say this is awful to say, but especially for somebody that's like wanting to go into law enforcement, but some police departments don't want to do all of that paperwork. If they're really slammed and they have, you know, so much backlog that they have to get to and cases that they have to do, if it looks like it could be something like that, and the wife looks like she's like distraught and stuff, then they will leave it to investigators and they're going to mark it as this and let them go on with it.
Right.
Unfortunately, that's what they did. So police ruled it as a suicide, but investigators thought it was extremely odd.
Yeah. Like, so I don't understand who, if you want to commit suicide, which is awful, why would you take all your clothes off and then drink antifreeze?
Well, you know, investigators thought that was odd too.
Yeah. Okay.
So they started digging into it. Stacy had said that her husband had been depressed ever since his father died. So that was her first motive as to why he would have done something like this. David's ex-wife, when investigators went and talked to her, she said he would never kill himself, that he would never do that. He had a son. He had, you know, he would never do anything that would destroy his relationship with anyone else that was in his life. And it was super weird because he left his entire $300,000 estate to Stacy.
Of course.
And nothing.
And nothing to his son. Sure. I'm sure that's what he wanted. Okay.
Yep. Yeah. So it was super weird, right?
Mm-hmm.
Something that was also noted was that investigators found a turkey baster in the trash can that had traces of antifreeze.
What?
Some of David's DNA. And that's not all. Stacy's fingerprints were also on the bottom of the glass in the bedroom.
Of course they were.
So they stated that the fingerprints were in such a way that it was as if somebody held the glass from the bottom. So instead of grabbing the glass, it was almost like he went to go take a drink, didn't know what it was, and she was helping by pushing it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Wow.
From the bottom.
And then she decided to use a turkey baster to give him some more? Like,
yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
So even though the police department did rule it as a suicide, investigators felt that they should look into Stacy's story more. They needed to know Stacy a little better and get a sense of how she really was. So they decided that they were just going to go and speak to her ex-husband, Michael. Well, they couldn't do that.
I was like, no, they can't do that. He already done been poisoned.
Right. So they found out that he had already died, and it was a really weird, mysterious death too.
Right.
Because it was just marked as a heart attack and nobody really had an explanation. You know, they pulled up all the medical records. They were like, this doesn't sound right. This is sketch.
Yeah.
So the lead investigator, Dominic Spinelli,
Recess.
I know. I was about to say, do you remember the show Recess?
Oh, when I hear Spinelli.
Yes.
Good times. Good times back in recess.
I know. Well, the lead investigator, Dominic Spinelli, decided that maybe they should exhume Michael's body.
Yes, you should.
So he obviously, like most investigators, well, I hope most investigators, they don't want to have to do that, especially right. when somebody's laid down to rest and they don't want to disturb. But at this point, they needed answers. And so they got the approvals and they were able to exhume Michael's body in September of 2007.
Right. But I mean, the rest of his family had wanted an autopsy, right? Just not right. her. Right.
Right. So his extended family were more than supportive.
Right.
For him doing this, you know, even though he had been laid to rest for a while, it was something that they really needed.
They just needed
as
answers.
Closure.
Right.
Well, sure enough, they found traces of antifreeze poisoning in Michael's system. So since they got the answers that they needed, they decided to question Stacy. So this is what's super crazy. I would have got her at this. I'm just going to tell you that.
I've been like, gotcha.
Gotcha, you bitch. Well, they said that she seemed like super nervous and that she was pacing, which already is a very, you know,
guilty sign.
it's going to show so much guilt when you come in for questioning or any interview and you're pacing back and forth and you're acting like, oh, why am I here? Why am I here? So here is the crazy thing. So one of the detectives actually decided to kind of throw out like a harmless question, but to kind of see if she would like say anything, right? So they asked her, of the two glasses that were on David's bedside table, which glass had David poured cranberry juice in? Well, Stacy's pretty fucking stupid.
Okay.
Because she said, well, when I poured the cranberry juice.
I'm sorry. What? She said that?
She said that.
Bitch, we got you.
but they didn't, because Stacy got super, super angry and she's like, I'm stopping this interview. You guys are trying to frame me.
Oh my God.
You need to leave and you need to let me grieve.
But you just said that you poured antifreeze in his cup. You just said it.
Girl.
Oh, that's frustrating. So they know that they've got her, but they don't have her.
Yes. So they know that they have her, but they don't, because they don't have, they have proof. Clearly they have proof.
Right. But they weren't like recording that conversation or.
It was more of an interrogation and it's not something they could use. It was inadmissible at this point. So a few days after Stacy had ended up slipping up in her interview, detectives decided to try and get more answers elsewhere, like good detectives do.
Okay.
So they reached out to Ashley. So Ashley was 20 years old now.
I was like, who the fuck is Ashley? But I remember now that's her daughter.
It's her daughter. Okay. It's the oldest daughter.
Right.
So they let her know that her father, Michael, was exhumed. Mm-hmm. They were able to do a full autopsy on him. And he had been poisoned. So like any child, she immediately called her mom for comfort. She's like, the detectives came over and they told me that, you know, dad didn't die of a heart attack. He was actually poisoned. And they showed me, you know, the autopsy results and how am I supposed to think about this?
Right.
So they were listening in on a wiretap that they had.
Oh, sneaky, sneaky.
Yeah. Well, Stacy calmed her down and she's like, why don't you come over for a drink?
No.
We both had such a hard day.
Absolutely.
I had a hard day. I've learned this news too. I need you to come over. Maybe we can comfort each other.
And you said they were listening. They were like wiretap listening. No, girl, no, it is antifreeze. Don't drink it.
Well, I'm sure they were probably saying that, but they were also, hoping she wouldn't try to poison her own, you know, offspring.
Well, you wouldn't think that, because she poisoned two husbands.
Right. But children are a little different, right? They came from you. Like, you literally created
them. Came from you.
But I, you know what I mean.
I know what you mean. Like, I know what you mean.
Ashley was like, okay, cool. My mom just gave me permission to drink. I'm not 21 yet. So, you know, any young adult that can't legally drink would probably think that, right?
Right, right.
Of course, everyone else is it's more like, don't do it. Don't drink the Kool-Aid.
The antifreeze, right. Do not drink the Kool-Aid. The flavor aid.
Well, Stacy made her drink. And Ashley said it made her feel super tired.
Oh my God. So the investigators let her go over there and drink it, knowing?
Well, they didn't have, yes, because they didn't have like valid evidence right. to prove that she was going right. to give her daughter antifreeze.
Except that she said, when I poured the antifreeze, I mean.
Correct. But they can't just like bust down a door because they think that's what's going to happen, right?
I would. I'd probably know that.
I mean, right. But it'd be inadmissible in court. So Stacy, you know, made her a drink. And Ashley was like, oh, I feel really tired. So she went to sleep.
Oh, don't go to
sleep. She was like, I'm going to go lay down and rest my eyes. So she did. And then the very next day, Stacy suggested that they have a couple other drinks, you know, to calm their nerves. She was like, you know, it really helped us yesterday. We had a good bonding time. Why don't you come over later and we can have drinks again? So, of course, Ashley was like, yeah, absolutely. You know, this is a great thing. Me and my mom are getting close. We're really going through something. We're grieving, you know, the death of my dad. She just lost her second husband, which right. to me would be super sketchy, even as a 20-year-old.
So suspicious, but okay.
But so she came over and Stacy gave her another drink and she remembered that it didn't taste good.
Don't drink it then. Do not drink it.
Right. So like anybody that would say, oh, this doesn't taste good. Most people would be like, oh, okay, let me pour this out and I'll get you something else. Maybe you don't like this drink. Let's make a new one or something, you know?
Okay.
No, instead Stacy gave her a straw and said, just put the straw at the back of your throat and then you won't taste it.
Oh my God. What the fuck? I need you to, Ashley, I need you to click into your brain that yes, this is your mother, but yes, both of her husbands had antifreeze in their systems when they died.
Well, they didn't. So she knew about David having antifreeze, like poisoning himself with antifreeze, right? But she was more processing the fact that Michael was poisoned,
right?
Not necessarily with antifreeze. So she was like, okay, I'll give it a shot. So she puts the straw at the back of her throat and she's like, okay, this isn't as bad.
Oh my God.
But of course, Ashley got tired again. So yeah. She was like, okay, I think I've had enough to drink. I'm going to go lay down. So she went to the room and she laid down. Well, the next morning, Bree went to try to wake up Ashley. But Ashley was unresponsive.
No.
So Bree called 911.
Mm-hmm.
And the ambulance came and picked up Ashley. And fortunately, though, Ashley did live.
Oh, good. Okay.
But the next thing she knew, she woke up in the hospital. Like, she was really confused as to why she was in the hospital.
Yeah.
You know, the last thing she remembered was having drinks with her mom, going to bed, and she wakes up and she's in the hospital.
Right.
Well, when she woke up, detectives were sitting at her bedside.
Oh, that's
crazy. And well, I'm sure she was like starting to wake up, so they came in.
Right.
They probably weren't like staring at her the whole time.
Just
or anything.
Waiting for her to wake up, just standing over her.
So no, detectives were sitting at her bedside and they let her know that the EMTs found her suicide note confessing to the murders of Michael and David.
I'm sorry, what? She's like, bitch, I didn't write no suicide note. And I absolutely
basically
didn't murder
anybody. That's literally like how she responded, basically. She was like, excuse me? I never wrote a note. I definitely didn't do any of those things.
Oh my God, like, her mother is awful. Her mother tried to kill her and then blame her for both of the other guys' deaths. What the fuck?
Yes. I'm telling you, she's the worst mother in the world. So she she's like super confused. She's like, first of all, where the hell am I?
Right. Because who the fuck are you?
Where the hell am I? Last thing I remember is drinking with my mom, having a good time, getting tired and going to bed. I wake up, I'm in the hospital, and now you're telling me that I wrote a suicide note and killed two people? What?
How many drinks did we have? So like, she was,
yes, basically.
She was like, when did we go to White Castle?
Why you gotta bring that?
Because it was so funny. It was so funny. We drank a whole lot one night, like so much. And I had like those like freezer White Castle burgers. And so we drank. And so we ate them really late at one point. And then the next morning, Samantha wakes up and sees the White Castle thing. And she's like, when did we go to White Castle? I'm like, bitch, we're in the South. There ain't no White Castles around here.
Yeah, my bad.
Oh, it was so funny.
Well, Ashley was super smart, right?
Yeah.
Like, she was extremely smart. Her mother even, like, when she was younger, would tell everybody, look how smart my daughter is. But the entire suicide note had no punctuation.
Oh, my God.
And it said super weird things. Like, there was a lot of misspelling of mm-hmm. words. Mm-hmm. Like, instead of it saying no one, it said none was ever supposed to know. But now they do. And they, as in T-H-A-Y.
Oh.
They think you did it, but you didn't. It was me. So, like, it was a one giant run-on sentence with a bunch of misspellings.
So she wrote this terribly grammatically incorrect suicide note to her mother, being like, I'm sorry, everyone thinks it was you, but it was me. Oh my God.
Right.
Wow.
So it was an awful suicide note at that. But one thing on the note really stood out. Antifreeze was spelled like Anna Free, just like Stacy had pronounced in the interrogation interview.
Oh my God. She thinks it's actually called Anna Free. She's a fucking idiot. She thinks it's called Anna Free. So she confessed to it accidentally and said Anna Free. And then she wrote Anna Free in her fake ass daughter suicide note.
Right.
She is real dumb.
So the same day as Ashley waking up in February of 2009, police arrested Stacy.
Good.
So not only did they like clearly know that it was not a suicide note that she wrote, but they had to have it on record stating that she had no idea what they were talking about.
Right.
And they arrested Stacy for, you know,
for all the things.
For all the things.
Poison her own daughter and frame her for killing the other people she poisoned.
Right. And I will say it was pretty easy in court. Like, Stacy was convicted of second degree murder of David, attempted murder of her daughter, Ashley. And she was also convicted of forging David's will.
Oh, my God.
They had, the $300,000 license. Yeah. Or,
did that pay out? Did she forge it and they paid it out to her or no?
Yes. She, yes.
Did she write, if I ever die from antifreeze poisoning, everything goes to my wife?
Everything goes to my wife. Yes.
Jesus Christ. Okay.
Well, they had plenty of evidence that definitely held up in court to the jury. Her fingerprints on the glass of the antifreeze in David's bedroom. Mm-hmm. The turkey baster with traces of antifreeze in the trash. And David's DNA.
Right.
The suicide note that was drafted on her home computer.
What the fuck?
And then
she wrote it on a computer and it didn't it didn't try to correct all of these terrible grammatical things.
No. On her home computer. And when they exhumed Michael's body, the coincidental same death poisoning. So all of that clearly held up in court. Mm-hmm. And even with all of this evidence, there was still one person that believed Stacy was innocent.
Who?
Her mother.
Wait, Stacy's mother?
Yes, Stacy's mother. Her mother actually thought Ashley was the true killer.
What?
She thought her own granddaughter actually killed them. She said, and I quote, Ashley had ample time, and she was 11 when Michael was killed, which was ample opportunity.
Why the fuck would an 11-year-old ever even think to have their dad drink antifreeze?
I also would hope that my kids would not try to kill me.
Right, but like...
Like, they were so close. Like, as you recall,
that's so
Michael was extremely close with Ashley and Bree.
Right.
Why would she have any probable cause to try to kill her father?
That is so fucked. So, grandma just as bad as mama, apparently.
Grandma is bad, bad. Like, I can't even believe that her own mother would think that she was innocent. Like, that is awful. With all of the evidence handed in court, right. She still thought her own granddaughter did it.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
If you cannot believe that your own daughter would do it, then why would you think that an 11-year-old granddaughter would... Okay.
Yeah. So Stacey said she was innocent. She did not kill Michael. She did not kill David. And she did not try to kill her daughter, period. And she said on trial, I will never say that I did it ever.
Sure. Okay.
And so Stacey actually died in jail, in prison. Stacey died without ever admitting to killing either one of them in 2016. She had a heart attack in jail. And Ashley and Bree never visited their mother when she was detained.
Yeah, which, I wouldn't either.
Nor should they.
Right. Like, you killed our dad and tried to kill one of us.
And tried to kill, yes. So Ashley even gave a statement when the trial ended. She said, she was my best friend. She was, and then she took all of that away.
That's so sad.
I would have done anything for her, but she decided she wanted to kill me instead.
Oh my God, that's awful. Can you imagine your child? Oh my God, that's terrible.
So I will say that I did read on about Ashley and Bree. I wanted to know where they were at now. So Ashley actually moved on. They moved, and she is engaged to be married now.
Okay, congrats, girl.
And Bree also moved, and she's got kids. She's a mother. A good mother.
Awesome. She doesn't try to poison them. Great.
No.
Well, I'm glad that they're living good lives and in good places now, because that is very fucking awful. All of that.
So I did see that they actually came out with a movie over case too. I haven't watched it. It came out in like 2020, I think. So only a couple of years ago.
Okay.
It's called Poisoned Love, the Stacey Castor story.
Oh, do you know what it's on? And what it's streaming on?
I don't. I need to look at that. I actually found it on IMDb. And Stacey Castor is played by the lady that played My Big Fat Greek Wedding. Like the lead role of that movie. Do you know who I'm talking about?
No, I've never watched that movie. I've never seen My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Yeah, it came out in 2020. I watched the trailer and it looks pretty interesting.
Interesting. Check that out.
Yeah. So that is the Stacey Castor, or better known as the Black Widow case.
That's fucked up.
It is.
Okay.
Now, because of this case, I will never let anybody make me a drink ever again.
I am watching you make any drink. Anybody that's like, oh, let me fix your drink. We are watching. I'm watching.
And
you.
If it's green, I'm not drinking it.
I don't drink green anyway, so I think I'm okay. I don't drink blue.
Yeah. None of those colors. Sorry.
All right. Well, this is the 99th episode, girl.
It is the 99th episode. So for all of our listeners, Crystal is, I already know what she's going to do for the 100th. So
yeah,
I'm super excited.
We argued about it because you thought I'd already done it and I hadn't.
Yeah, we did. I was like, I know you've done that case. She's like, no, I didn't. And I literally went back and looked at every case that we've done. And we have not done that case.
Haven't done it.
We just have talked about it a couple times. So yeah. I'm excited for it. It'll be a good one.
It'll be something.
So you'll have to stay tuned for our 100th episode. In two weeks. Sorry, guys.
In 2 weeks. And then I'll have to figure out how to record this again because, no, I'm just kidding. All right. Well, follow us on all the stuff. Go to SarahHolicksisters.com and you can find everything there.
Instagram, Facey Space.
Facey Space. Just send us a little note. Tell us how you're doing. How your mom and them doing? I'm just kidding. Okay. Okay. And on that note,
let's be awkward.
Okay. Bye. Okay,
bye. Bye. Also, I'm going to have to show you what her new ghost in her house is doing when we're done. Oh, yeah. He didn't like that.
He said bye.